We're on Inaya. We're on Cook's commentary on the Agadat HaNevi'a, Daf Yud. Masechet Shabbat. Rava Chazer L'Rav Hamnuna D'Kamarich B'Tzalute. Rava saw Rav Hamnuna, one of the other Amoraim, he's a rabbi, he's a rabbi Gemara. He saw that Rav Hamnuna was davening a long Shmona Esrei. Amar Menichin Chaye Olam V'Eskim B'Chaye Sha'a. How is it possible that he is leaving the eternal life for the sake of the temporal life? In other words, Torah, v'chaye olam nata b'tochenu, that's the eternal life. It's chayim hi, the tree of life. It's better to spend more time on Torah and less time on prayer. In other words, if you have your time on your hands, learning is more important than praying, according to Rava. Vehu savar, the Gemara explains that Rav Hamnuna himself was a great rabbi. How did he explain? Zman tfila lechud uzman Torah lechud. There are two different fields. Both of them are important. Also, prayer is important. Also, learning Torah is important. And you need to allot time for both. Rav Kook explains, HaTorah titen la'adam mada'im chadashim b'chol et hanovim mimakor ha'emet shehi chaye olam ki chen ha'amitiyot mitkaymot la'ad. The difference between Torah and Tefillah, between learning and prayer, is that learning Torah is the intellectual aspect of religion. And when a person learns Torah, it gives him mada'im chadashim. It gives him new insights, new knowledge, new understanding. And every day you learn new things. Anybody who's ever learned Torah knows that you can learn Parshat HaShavua, the same weekly parsha, every week for 50, 60, 70 years. I've only done it for 25 years. But every single year you come up with new ideas. And you learn new ideas. And even the same person, just like our taste changes in food, so too our concepts and our thinking changes. Right? There's no anyone who's taught teenagers and has taught young adults and has taught older adults and has taught males and has taught females knows that the thought process is so different. And that's part of the beauty of learning, that it adds to the chidush, that our relationship with God is always new, always renovated. And this is part of the concept that we spoke about once, the idea that erastich li le'olam, right? That in Shir HaShirim, a person, the lover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, in the mashal, in the allegory, never get married. But they're always boyfriend and girlfriend, dod and ra'ya, where part of the idea is that in that beautiful stage before marriage, before you can consummate the marriage, the love is growing and growing and getting stronger and stronger, but you can never realize it. And it's just growing more and more and more. And that is the way our relationship is supposed to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think we once mentioned that the Zohar points out that the word Elohim, God, is comprised of two words, Mi and Eile. Did we mention that once?
Yeah.
The idea of asking me, who is God, and coming up with an answer, Eile. Eile means this. Okay, yeah, this is something you understand. But for every Eile, there is a new me. And for every me, there is a new Eile. For every question...
Eile is plural also. In other words, in the plurality of the world, you infer the singularity of God, which is a very impressive thing.
Right, also the word Elohim is plural.
Plural, yeah.
Okay. In other words, that there's so many different levels, eternal levels of understanding God, endless levels of understanding God, and that's the beauty of learning Torah. That's the first chidush of Rav Kook here. Again, HaTorah titen la'adam mada'im chadashim b'cholet, all the time. You're always learning, giving you new insights in understanding God. There's an interesting Rashban. The Rashban was Rashi's and Nechid, his grandson. And he mentions in one place that, you know, all know that the Rashbam, his commentary on the Tanakh, is the Pshat. It's based on, totally on Pshat. He doesn't deal with Midrashim at all. And he says that very often I mentioned my Chidushim, my new ideas of Pshat, to my grandfather Rashi. And he said that if he would have time, he would write a new commentary al pshatim hamitchadshim b'chol yom, on the new commentaries that he himself thinks of or hears all the time. Which is interesting, because pshat usually is defined as pashut, something simple, or the plain meaning. But we see...
the context of things, not just the simple...
Right, that's the deeper or a better explanation of pshat. That it's not the simple meaning, but understanding from the concept, from the context. But there are, a lot has been written on what is pshat. I just want to mention, what does the Rashbam mean today, especially with the archaeology and the time which is being invested in the Hebrew language, and all of the different new ways of attacking different intellectual topics, the Dat Mikra commentary. There are so many new ways of understanding, how much more so in our generation, that there are pshatim amitchadshim b'chol yom, new commentaries every day. What do you want to say?
I wanted to say that the word pshat in the Gemara, when you say that something is pashut, it means that somebody was poshet, had figured it out, explained it, mm-hmm. and that's a process that keeps going on.
Okay. So, b'chol ha-novim mi-makor ha-emet shi-chaye olam. Rav Kook says the Torah is noveya. It's like a string, right? That it's constantly running. It's always mitchadesh. It's always being renewed. And that's the idea of why the Torah is called chaye olam. And where do we say this? In Berchot Tatar, in the blessing of the Torah, we say chaye olam nata b'tochenu. It's like a tree which is planted in us, and a tree which is constantly growing. Kichen ha'amitiot mitkaymot la'ad. And not only are they constantly being renewed, but the truth is something which is constant. And that's one of the differences that we're going to see between the seichel and the regesh, between the intellect and the emotion, between tefillah and Torah. Right? The learning of the Torah is centered on the seichel, on the logic, on the intellect. And that's something which is objective. Right? What was true 1,000 years ago is going to be true 1,000 years from now. As opposed to the regesh, the emotion, which is more associated with tefillah and the day-to-day needs, chaye sha'ah, which has its ups and its downs, and it changes all the time. Okay? Omnam. Right? You have to get used to Rav Kook. Whenever he says omnam, what he's doing is he's showing the other side of the coin. And as we pointed out very often, that is the harmony that Rav Kook writes about in all of his writings. He gives you one side. On the other hand, on the other hand, on the other hand, and the whole time is developing the harmony between the two. Omnam, hatfila eina bnuya al yisod hoda'at yidiot chadashot. Prayer, on the other hand, is not based on new knowledge. La'ashir et seichel adam ba'amitiyot, to enrich the mind, the human mind, with new truths, that's Torah. What is tefillah? Kin tasok bechelek mi'ayidiyot ha'yiduot mikvar lishtamesh ba'en al pikoach ha'hergesh rak kedei la'amik et ha'roshem shall yediot musariot al kochot hanefesh.
Wait. Why don't...
Let me explain first.
Yeah.
Okay. Tefillah does not deal with the present or with the new, but with concepts which we already have in our minds, which we already have in our heads. And what it does, it's ma'amik, it deepens our feelings to that which already was. Right? When we talk about tefillah, tefillah is usually divided into shevach, bakasha, and hodaya. the three parts of Shemona Esrei, right? Which is praising God, praise Him on what was. God hasn't changed for eternity. He was always the same thing.
My understanding is better.
Yeah.
And my understanding of my needs in Bakasha gets better. And my understanding of God's goodness to me gets better, and my Hoda'ah therefore changes too.
Yafe. In other words, Bakasha and Hoda'ah deal, what is Bakasha? Getting in touch with what I have. Also Hoda'ah, thanking God with what I have, and also what I need. In other words, it's a self-assessment where I'm standing, and it deepens my self-awareness where I am and what I need. Again, there's things that I know already, but a lot of times we don't retrospect. We don't sit down and take stock where I'm at. And that's what prayer is for. Introspect. Koach ha'ergesh kedei, for the emotional stock, kedei la'amik et haroshem shel hayediyot ha'musariyot shel kochot ha'nefesh. In order to deepen our understanding of the ideals of the kochot ha'nefesh, of our nefesh, of our soul. In other words, tefillah centers on ratzon, on deepening the desire. And desire is something which is connected with the emotion. We'll see some that is connected with the intellect as well. Okay? But in general, tefillah is something that we yearn for. Al ken in la tefillah inyan im mishpat ha'emet mitzad atzma. Tefillah is not clarifying truth in and to itself. She'u kefi oto hakoach she'yargish yoter ha'regesh ha'enoshi et rosh ha'mishila amitiyot she'n kvar tzfuyot ugluyot ba'sechel. It's in order to deepen the idea of the emotion, and that's part of the idea of prayer, is to deepen the feelings for the ideas which we already understand. Echit ba'el mehen v'regesh nafshi. How to motivate ourselves, how to get ourselves to feel certain ideas, certain things, certain concepts. Ulifamim davka hatziur habilti mezukach kolkach yalhiv et haregesh mipnei shehu yelid hachomer. Al ken hutru betfila teharim l'shem yitbarach lefi hakarat roshem hahergesh. Here Rav Kook adds another interesting point. Sometimes in prayer, we even say things which are not intellectually true, which are not accurate. In other words, Rav Kook is sharpening the difference between prayer and learning. Learning is exact. Learning is truth. Sometimes for the sake of deepening a feeling, sometimes we exaggerate. That's what poets do. And Rav Kook has a piska in Orot, where he talks about the difference between Chacham and Navi. And he talks about the difference between the poets and the pragmatists. And it's also a similar idea here, where tefillah is sort of like a poetry. That's sort of an emotion which deepens the feelings towards the ideas, where the ideas are written down by the pragmatists. Okay? Now, when we pray, the halakha and the rabbis sometimes even allow us to say things which are not accurate. Right? When we say that God is alive, and the Kuzari says, there's a mamar in the Kuzari, maybe I'll just read it, put it here, in the second article, Piskabet, where the king of the Khazars asks the rabbi, the chaver, about different titles in tefillah that we address God in prayer that aren't really accurate. You know, what are these different names? That God is El Chai, He's alive, right? Or that He's Mashpil Af Meromeim, Chanun V'Rachum, Kano V'Nokem, Gibor, Shaddai, Ish Milchama, Ram V'Nisa, Gadol, right? Or a classic example is in Shira Kavod, in Anim Zmirot, right? Zikna biyom din, vacharut biyom krav. Ki ish milchama, right? God is sometimes drawn as an old man with white hair when we're talking about his wisdom. And sometimes we draw him as a young man with black hair when we talk about his gvura and his strength. And the Kuzari goes on to explain that when we talk about God, these are not titles that accurately describe God. And even when we talk about Chayim, what we really mean, he says, is that God, it's not that he's alive like we're alive, but he's not dead. Right? There's some deal with the negative aspect. Yeah.
He's the cause of life also.
Yeah.
But outside of Tefillah, the Torah itself uses these same imprecise descriptions for him.
Yes, yeah, when we talk about Torah as opposed to Tefillah, we're not talking about the Chumash as opposed to the Sefer. Because there is, you're right, regarding this, the Torah also allows itself also to talk figuratively, right? But the Tefillah does it all the time. Right? Our whole relationship with God, to speak to God as if it were, you know, he's our friend, you know, that you can speak with him. The whole idea is kaviyachol. It's as if it were. And that's why Rav Kook points out that Tefillah is not intellectually accurate. And that's why we relate to God in a way which is not really intellectually accurate. That we refer to him in all these different, where it's good for us to deepen our emotional dependence on God's wisdom, or on God's strength, or on God's helping yatom ve'almana yodid v'derech v'shahim yaveit, and all those different type of things. But he stresses that these are emotional things. V'inei ha-sechel eno tzarich mitzad atzmo l'ishtadlut hazot shel ha-makat ha-roshem. The intellect doesn't need that deepening of the emotion. Shemitzan atzmo umatzavo hanitzchi dailu barchavat da'at atzma. There's enough in intellect. Right? The Kuzari Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says that the head, the intellect, has to be the king of the body. Right? We live according to our head, not according to our stomach, not according to our hearts, or at least we should. And therefore, there's enough in the head going on that it can mefarnes himself. It can keep itself going, keep itself learning and learning and growing and growing without the pep talks. Omnam mitzad, omnam, here's another omnam. On the other hand, mitzad kveidut klei haguf hamachbidim al tirufat ha-sechel tzarich siyua me'amakat ha-roshem. Rav Kook says, we are not angels. Nobody can say, I am just intellect. I don't have emotions. I don't need pep talks. Everyone needs motivation. And that's why God created us also with a heart and also with a head. As a matter of fact, in Chabad, they say that the reason why Lubavitchers don't wear ties is so that they can connect, that there should be a chatzitza, there should be a separation between the shel rosh and the shel yad, right? Between the heart and the actions, the shel yad, which is opposite the heart, and the actions, which is on in your symbol of the hand, and the head, which is the intellect. I remember in high school, I was a Zionist, and my Rebbe wasn't such a Zionist. And this is in New York. And so he asked all of us that we should pray with hats. And he suggested that we wear hats and that we wear jackets and ties. So the hats, he wasn't makpid. And the jackets and ties, they were makpid. But when I heard that the Lubavitchers don't wear ties, I found an excuse. So we saw one day that I was wearing just a jacket without a tie. So he said, where's your tie?
And it just became a Lubavitcher.
I said, what the Lubavitcher is saying, that there should be a chatzitzia between the shel yad and the shel rosh. So he was happy that I became a Lubavitcher. That was before the Messianic era. that's how I got out of the tie. Anyway.
It sounded more from like than a Stam Zionist.
Yeah. Imken, hatfilat tochnahu. So again, the idea is that we are not 100% intellect. And I'll read the previous sentence again. Umnam mitzad kvedut kli haguf. There's a certain heaviness that this world and our physical bodies take us down, a certain laziness that we have, which don't let us, machbidim al tu'ufat ha-sechel, which don't let our intellect fly, which don't let us, which tie us down from that constant growth, that intellectual chidush, always learning new things. That's why we also need a little help from the roshim, from the emotion, from prayer. Im ken, hatfilat tochnahu, the content of prayer, lo mitzad amitat ha-sechel ha-nitzchi, atzmo, shuchaye olam. Prayer does not deal with the intellect, which is eternal. Chaye olam. Ki im mitzad mikre haguf u'mesigav. Notice, usually, when talking about the difference between chayesha and chaye olam, like it seems from Rashi, the most common explanation is that tefillah, prayer, is praying for this world, for getting healthy, for peace, for parnasa, income. Rav Kook is taking it differently. Rav Kook says that chaye olam is the intellectual, is the emotional, and something which has its ups and downs, something which is not connected with the eternal, as opposed to Torah, which is connected with the eternal. Okay? So what is tefillah? Mitzad mikre haguf u'mesigav. Here, it does, prayer does deal with our body, what our needs. We need money, we need health, we need a Jewish state, we need Jerusalem, we need Mashiach. Shem chaye sha'ah. This deals with the temporary world. Im ken, lo yitachen la'azov chaye olam mitzad chaye sha'ah. And this explains Rava's opinion. Why did Rava say that you shouldn't spend so much time praying and you should spend more time learning? Because learning is eternal. Learning is constant. He also agrees that you need the emotional, you need that motivation every now and then. We are human beings, we are lazy, we need that deepening.
There is a special case though.
Yeah.
With somebody who's totally involved in tefillah is
okay, we'll get to Rav Hamnuna's opinion.
Yeah,
that's not the topic here, but okay. And therefore, Rava says, we should be spending more time on the eternal, constant, objective growth, and which is greater than the physical, temporary, always changing. Emotion is always changing. Life is always changing. Omnam, who Rav Hamnuna savar zman Torah lechud zman tefillah lechud. Just like it's important to have time for study, Torah, we need time for prayer. Kasher bichlam pratei inyanei Torah yesh klal munach. Regarding the details of Torah, there's a general rule. La'olam yomad adam imasha libo chafetz. Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah. That a person should invest his time. When you want to learn that which you love. Ki anatiyah pnimit tanche et ha'adam b'derech ha'mesharim. A person's inner leaning. You should always be in tune to your inner learning, your inner voice, because that fills in, that will lead you in the right direction. Right? Even within learning, there is this idea of ups and downs, of a need for the emotion. Listen to your emotion. Rav Kook here is clearly going according to his opinion, which he writes in Orot HaTorah, in the Ma'amar Ha'onig V'Asimcha, which we learned last year, where Rav Kook, may well just summarize what we learned last year in a nutshell. He explains that just like there is mazon gufani, there is mazon ruchani. Just like regarding physical food, a person has to, different people have different tastes. One person likes sweet and sour, the other person likes Chinese food or Italian food. And even within a person's own lifetime, your taste changes, right? When you're young, you like sweeter things. When you're old, too much sugar makes you nauseous. Even the same person, within one day in the morning, he may like coffee, but not at 12 o'clock at night, right? He might like steak for lunch, but not for breakfast. And Rav Kook says that the same thing is with mazon ruchani. When a person wants to learn Torah, you shouldn't mitzdamtzem, you shouldn't limit yourself into just what the yeshiva is learning. Because sometimes when a person feels a lack of motivation in learning, what you need to do is look for a new ofek, a new horizon, a new topic in learning. And that's what Rav Kook points out is part of the problem in the classic yeshivot, which centers so much just on Gemara. And if a person sometimes feels a lack of motivation, let him try learning Tanakh. Let him try learning Chassidut. Have you tried Kabbalah? Have you tried Maharal, right? And even within philosophy, there is Rambam, there is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Within Musar, there is the Orchot Tzaddikim, there's Mesilat Yesharim. There's so many different books. There's so many different approaches that there is no person that cannot find the food, the spiritual food that satisfies him at any given moment. And Rav Kook says that what we have to do is we have to be aware of two points. All this is in Ma'amar Omidras Simcha in Ikvei Yatzal, which is based on this Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says that a person will only learn that which his heart desires. Well, it says you have to be focused on two points. Number one, the variety that there is in Torah. You have to be aware. And number two, you have to have your hand on your own pulse to know where you're at, in order to utilize the variety. But you also have to know that the variety exists. For example, if a person is hungry, sometimes you go to a refrigerator, and you open it up, and you're looking for something, but you don't know what that something is, right? Oh, that. Right? And sometimes you just don't find it. So you take the second best. But if you were to go to a 24-hour supermarket and walk back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, without a doubt, you would definitely find what that it is, what you need, what you're looking for. The same thing in learning Torah. We have ups and downs. You cannot say that the Torah is just intellectual. You have Zman Torah Lechud and Zman Tefillah Lechud. You need the emotion just as much as you need the intellect. And the intellect without that emotion, without the motivation, you're not going to get there. And that's why it's so important, again, to be aware of the variety that there is. I always say to, when I work with a lot of times 18, 19-year-olds, you know, it's a very shaky time in life for people who are looking for themselves, looking for truth, and they think that they found it, and then they're looking for something else, and they're always looking, and it's a very good, interesting time. But
yeah, I've been doing that for the last 40 years.
The answer always is, if a person feels lack of motivation in Torah, try a new sefer, try a new Rebbe. Today with the internet, you can just hook up 24 hours a day at your own convenience with any hashkafa that you want. Try something new. Try a new horizon. And even something which turned you on at the age of 18 might not turn you on at the age of 19. That's part of the idea why at the age of 40 many people start learning Kabbalah or deeper things, because you need something new. What do you want to say?
I wanted to say that the analogy of food, you may have things that you like the taste of, but you've got to get all the vitamins. if somebody doesn't have a head for, if somebody doesn't have a head for G geometrical things, and they're completely turned off by Eruvin, and they're receptive. You have to go through the whole Shas. You have to learn Kol Torah Kula. Ideally, mm-hmm. If you're doing it right, you can get to all the basic knowledge, and you have to do that. That's a goal.
Obviously, that's the idea.
But libo chafetz means the approach, the way of approaching it, and the way they teach in a particular yeshiva, the way a particular teacher of Torah teaches will suit you and somebody else
also
won't.
That and also the topic. In other words, obviously there are halachot, for example, you can't not know Hilchot Shabbat. But to spend how much time learning Tanakh as opposed to how much time learning Musar, how much time learning philosophy, all of that is very flexible, and that's the reason why it's flexible. In order that every person at different stages in life should always find the Torah that motivates him. By the way, Rav Kook gives the classic example is when a woman is in pregnant, her body desires the vitamins or the minerals that she's lacking, right? And that a person should always listen to those cravings, okay? So to summarize this sentence, Rav Kook says that in terms of understanding the approach, why we mamash need also the emotion and also the intellect, also prayer and also learning, that even learning and even the intellect has the need for the emotion and for the motivation, for the deepening. Kenu gam ken binyan haTorah vaTfila, hashvita sichlit lo tuchal kokach. Rav Kook now says the same thing. That idea of listening to your nature is also regarding the balance of how much time to spend on learning and how much time to spend on prayer. Notice Rav Kook is making a very nice diuk here. Rav Hamnuna, who says that both are important, is not saying let's do 50-50. He's not saying equal time. But what he's saying is there is a time for this and a time for that. It's a beautiful deduction that Rav Kook is making here. Again, just like a person has to listen to his inner voice when it comes to motivation regarding learning Torah, kenu gam ken binyana Torah vatfila, regarding the relationship between learning and prayer. Hashvita sichlit lo tuchal kol kach liten gvulot kama tzarich ha'adam liyot mitparnes parnasateo haruchanit. A person cannot intellectually sit down and say, okay, I am 60-40, or 61-39, or it's not intellectually. You can't say, it's interesting also here, the way that the Rav Kook describes how much a person needs to mifarnes. How would you translate mifarnes? to prosper his intellectual spiritual, and how much he needs to the
nourish.
Spice, right? How much to nourish his intelligence and his intellectual connection with God, and how much he needs spice, the spice of emotion. Now, it's very clear from the term spice, nobody is going to make a whole meal out of spices. Right? There's just so much garlic or onion or za'atar or oregano that you can eat, right? On the other hand, what it's saying, it is sharp. That regish, when you need that emotion, without it, your food is bland. Learning without prayer or intellect without emotion is going to be bland. And when you need it, the emotion, go for it. That's what Rav Kook is saying. You can't say, my schedule is from 8 to 9:30, that is my time for prayer, and from 9:30 to this time, I'm learning, and then you can't divide it. Man, and that's part of the beauty of the neshama, we have to be in touch with ourselves. We have to be real. There is nothing as true as our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with God, which is really the same thing. Our relationship with our godly self.
So I wonder, when Rav Kook talks about your total need of a person, and he discusses Torah and Tefillah. Well, if one talks about the total needs, does he mention or talk about with the same immediate chord?
In other places, yeah, definitely. I have no doubt that we'll get to it in AIM. That's Rav Kook, in his harmonic approach to life, obviously has all of life and secular knowledge is part of that.
He talks in another place about Kodesh, Leom, and Olam, so it must be somewhere there.
For sure. Right. Okay, again, גם בזה הנטייה הפנימית תנחה את הישר שבאדם בדרך ישרה. A person, when he's healthy, should listen to his inner voice. When you feel a need to learn, learn. But when you feel a need to pray, it doesn't have to be those three times a day. It could be saying Tehillim, it could be talking to God. Stop talking to Hashem. לזאת ביותו לפי מצב נפשו נוטה לחמדת עסק התורה, הוא זמן תורה. That is the time for Torah. והוא העיקרי שבהשלמת האדם הפרטי והכלל כולו. Rav Kook makes no bones about it. It's very clear that learning Torah, Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. As the rabbis say, there is no mitzvah like learning Torah. On the other hand, with that, omnam, what's the other side of the coin? Biyoto margish be'atzmo bizman min hazmanim. When a person sometimes feels shunotel l'chifetz ha'ga'aguim ha'hergeshim. Here you see Rav Kook talking about himself. Right. Sometimes I, or anyone, but obviously he's describing himself, when a person feels a yearning for that emotion, l'archavat ha'tfilah, to pray a little longer, u'shfichat nafsho lifnei Hashem, to pour his heart before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only his heart, but his soul. Not just as somebody sick in the family, but you just want to talk with your beloved. Hashmi'ini et kolech ki kolech harev. If you have that feeling, that's a sign. That's what you should be doing at that time. When it could be even in the middle of the day, all of a sudden you find a yearning for God to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do it. Even though learning Torah is on a higher level than prayer, it's Chaye Olam as opposed to Chaye Sha'a. It's very interesting.
But this is the Sha'a. This is the Sha'a.
Yafe. In other words, at this moment, that's the Sha'a. Yafe. Yafe. That's exactly what Rav Kook is saying. You hit the nail on the head. Anybody who knows Rav Kook's relationship with his two closest students, aside from his son Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Rav Charlap and Nazir, know that both of those students were turned on to Rav Kook because of Rav Kook's prayer. And everybody knows that Rav Kook was a genius. And anybody who's learned Rav Kook knows that he was super creative. And anybody who knows that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, maybe the greatest rabbi of our generation, when asked by his son, who is your Rav? He says, if I have a Rav, it's Rav Kook. And in fact, whenever he said the word Harav, the term the rabbi with a capital T, he was referring to Rav Kook. Rav Kook was his Masader Kedushin. He arranged his chuppah. Rav Kook was the sandak at his bechor and his oldest son's brit. And everybody knew that Rav Kook was, without a doubt, among the Gedolei Ador intellectually and in Torah. But those who were closest to him, Davka, were turned on. One of them was when the Nazir heard about Rav Kook in Switzerland, when Rav Kook was stuck in Switzerland during World War I, and he went to speak with him in learning. Fine. But when he woke up in the morning, Rav Kook had woken up early, and he was saying Korbanot, and he was saying Birchot HaShachar, and he was singing Akedat Yitzchak in a mangina in a tune. The Nazir said that I will never forget. And he woke up and the Nazir connected to God through Rav Kook's prayer. Rav Kook was in the adjacent room. And he writes there in his Yoman, in his diary, the Nazir writes on the spot, I have found more than I could imagine. I have found a Rav. when he met Rav Kook. Rav Harlap is a very similar story, where, if I remember correctly, he went to Yafo. Rav Kook came to Eretz Yisrael in Rish Samech Dalet, 1904. And Rav Harlap heard about this Gadol Hador, comes to be a rabbi in Yafo, Tel Aviv. And it was Chag HaShavuot, and he heard how Rav Kook sang Akdamot. Rav Kook is a Kohen. He got the first Aliyah. And that's the famous piyut that we say before, and this is after, you know, he's been learning all night and everyone's tired. But he said he never felt such a closeness and love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another time where Rav Harlap came into Rav Kook's house, and Rav Kook didn't notice that he was there. And Rav Harlap describes how he sees Rav Kook going back and forth and back and forth and just running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for a long time. And Rav Kook was so, and his face was burning and his eyes were closed. And Rav Harlap, he didn't even notice that Rav Harlap was there until after a long time he noticed that Rav Harlap was there. And he takes him and he holds him and he says, "You gotta understand, I am burning with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu." That's what Rav Kook is describing here. When a person, and that's where we should have, and even Rav Kook was so busy as the chief rabbi of Israel, and it was, and a Rosh Hashiva, and the Gadol Hador, and Tshuvot, and everything, nevertheless, sometimes he just had to let himself burn with his love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what, clearly what he's talking about from first-hand experience. Zman Torah lichud uzman tefillah lichud. There is a time for Torah, and as Yehoshua said, this is the time for tefillah. Ela shazmanim akvuim nikvu al pi midat haklal shera'ui liyot noteh bahem letefillah. Nevertheless, the rabbis established, why do we daven three times a day? Why do we pray three times a day? That is the average, what a person needs. Like Rabbi Yehuda Levi writes in the Kuzari, just like a person needs three meals a day, and one meal carries you till the next, and then that meal carries you to the next. And that's what life is, that's day-to-day life. So to one tefillah shacharit carries you till mincha. Tefillah mincha carries you till arvit. And that's the minun, the, how do you say minun?
Dosage.
The dosage for the average person. But what Rav Kook is saying, what is Rav Hanuna, how does he explain Rav Hanuna? Zman tefillah lechud and zman Torah lechud. When you feel that there is a time where you need to pray, do it. It's not 50-50, right? Learning is more important, but you need that emotion, you need that motivation. And again, there's another classic example of Rav Kook, as we see just about every piska in his writings, where he talks about how to harmonize the different aspects of life.